Welcome into week number two of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN, brought to you by Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. We've got Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks, with you here. We'll recap week number one. We'll take a look at our picks here for week number two. We'll do that in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome in here to Who's Gonna Win. Let's find out how we did last week here, week number one, to start off the 2017 campaign. And pretty good start here for all of us. Overall speaking, usually we're kind of maybe in that middle of the road, but we've got an 8-0 and 3-7-1. So doing pretty good here to start this season. I guess pats on the back for everybody. Here in week one, we had Audubon 55-14 winner over Exira EHK. We all had the Wheelers, so we all got that one correct. Also, St. Albert was a shutout winner, 35-0 over Logan Magnolia. We all took the Falcons there as well, so we picked up a win there. Missouri Valley 33-8 over Griswold. We all had the Big Reds and got that one correct. AHSTW 55-18 over Shenandoah on the road. We all had the Vikings, so we picked that one correctly. Here's where we mixed it up a little bit. Underwood was a 24-0 winner over Trainer on the road, and that was a winner for myself and for Jim. Doug and Matt had Trainer in that one. And it was Glenwood shutting out Abraham Lincoln 45-0. Jim went out on a limb there with that one, and that limb came crashing down.
I have no excuses.
And then Lewis Central topped Harlan, and it ended up being a close game, 31-21, the final score. The Titans win it. We all had Lewis Central, and Atlantic shut out Clarinda on the road, 40-0. We all had the Trojans there, so we all picked up that victory. So I went 8-0 in the first week, and then everyone else at 7-1 here to start the 2017 campaign. So now we head to week number two, and I think it's going to get a little bit more interesting here in week number two. We've got some games on our sheet here this week that might be a little tougher to predict, and we're going to start off here in the eight-man ranks, and this will be a broadcast game here tonight as well, so stay tuned. You can join Mike Smith and myself for the game coming up here between Cam at home against the Audubon Wheelers, and guess I'll take first crack at it here after the 8-0 start to this season, and it's going to be a lot tougher to try to decide on this one. This is going to be an interesting game. Obviously, I think the expectations would be for Audubon to go on the road and win, but Cam's had a really nice start to the season. They picked up two good wins here to start off already, a couple of games under their belt, so they have that one extra week of experience playing that week zero game. Thomas Hensley's just a terrific athlete overall, so he's a guy you got to look out for, both throwing and running the football. He's already got 8 touchdowns on the ground here this season for him. On the other side, though, for Audubon, you look at last year, they won the game 67-24, and they bring back all the players that scored those points in that game from last year. So a lot of weapons for Audubon. I think that's what makes them so tough to prepare for. Nolan Smith's off to a good start. Tyler Reboff, great at the quarterback spot. I think that extra couple of weapons for Audubon is going to be what makes the difference in this one, but I think it will be a close, interesting game, especially for a while. But I am going to go with the Wheelers here for this one. So what's one there for Audubon. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, I sure like to be at the game there watching that with you, Chris. It's going to be a tight contest, I think. You had me. I was almost going to going to take the home team on this one. Then you threw in the points thing. You've done some research. You know a lot about football, Chris. I do not. You mentioned, though, Thomas Hensley and his scoring ability, actually leading the state in scoring, according to the paper I read earlier this week. So, you know, pretty prolific on offense. They've got talent at running back and wide receiver, too. So, you know, I do think it's an offense that definitely can put up some points. They've done that so far this year. I just think Audubon's defense is going to be a little bit tough to score on. And so I'm going to take the Wheelers on the road.
All right, so that's two for Audubon. Jim?
You know, fun game. You know, Cam had a pretty easy go of it last week. They only tried three pass attempts last week in their game. And as a group, they rushed 35 times for 374 and 8 touchdowns. You know, it was pretty much a walkover. They're averaging 70 points a game. So they've scored 70 in both of their wins. They may still average 70 points a game after tonight's contest, but I'm afraid they're going to give up more than that here tonight. Audubon's awfully, awfully tough, and they forced 5 turnovers against Exira EHK, a team that usually doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. This is going to be fun. I envy you. It's the kind of game I'd like to be sitting there in the booth with you, but I'm going to take Audubon on the road and wouldn't be surprised to see Cam come up a winner.
All right, that's three for the Wheelers. Matt?
Well, that's kind of what I had noted there was the 5 turnovers that Audubon had forced last week when they played Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton. So I think that's going to be the big difference is their defense, that a little more, at least in their first game, pretty balanced offensive attack. Cam's relied predominantly on the run so far. But, you know, this is at over to Anita, and the Cam community, the school district, and all that stuff, they've got a lot of confidence right now. You know, they're coming off this phenomenal baseball season. A lot of those kids are right here in the football season as well. It just kind of spilled over. You know, they go to that state tournament, had about 2 or 3 days off, went to football camp because they had to play that week 0 game. So they really haven't had much rest in here, and they've just kind of kept things rolling. So this is going to be a tough game to call, but I think just the experience from Audubon, the depth, and the defense.
All right.
About the Wheelers as well.
I thought you were going the other way there for a second.
I know. Just
had me on the edge.
Had you on the ropes.
All right.
Had our listeners on the ropes, too. That's why you have me. That's why you have me here.
Exactly. Audubon all across the board here for our first pick this week.
I feel like Conor McGregor. I'm on the ropes.
Stop the fight early, please. 8-man action here in our second pick as well. It's Bedford on the road at Exira EHK. And if you remember from a season ago, these teams split. It was Bedford winning in the regular season, Exira EHK winning in the postseason. Of course, much different teams here this year around. I guess, Doug, you get the unenviable task of trying to decipher who's going to win this one.
Yeah, so Bedford's got a couple games under their belt. You know, they've got a 1-1 record, beat Essex pretty handily the first week, and then turned around and lost to Sydney last week. And I think it kind of, if you look at the stats from those games, kind of comes down to the play from the quarterback. Did real well in the first week, 9-14 passing, 4 touchdowns, and then struggled quite a bit in the second week, only 12-42 passing with 2 interceptions. So, you know, it depends on how well the Spartans' defensive backfield plays. I think Coach Peterson will have them, you know, riding the ship this week, trying to even up their record. You know, they had a tough week last week against Audubon, but I'm going to take Spartans at home.
All right, so that's one for Exira EHK. Jim, what do you think?
Well, I don't know much about Essex. I know Sydney's pretty good, mm-hmm. and that's nothing to be ashamed about, that loss last week by Bedford. And I know Audubon's pretty good. Nothing to be too ashamed about by Exira EHK. You know, we usually talk this time of the year that the coaches always say the biggest progress of your team is between game one and game two. Well, Bedford's already been through that. Now it's time to see what Exira EHK has in game two. I just can't believe they're going to turn the ball over that many times again this week. I know they're working through some kids at new positions and new faces and what have you, but Tom runs a pretty tight ship, and I really think at home they'll get it figured out this week. Bedford's not a bad test for them, but at home I'd like to think Exira EHK will pick this one up.
All right, couple for Sparty. Matt.
Okay. This is, again, another interesting ball game with the components put together there. Bedford, I haven't seen, looking through the stats, and the Seifert kid wasn't in any of the stats, so I'm not sure if he's injured or what the deal is there. But he's their quarterback that they've had last year. He played quarterback as a freshman. But so I think that's kind of where their dynamics have changed. I just think I think I'm going to go with Bedford. I know that might be out there on myself, but looking at stuff, I think they've got a few more numbers, a little bit more size up front. Again, early season, I think if you can have a pretty decent defense, helps.
All right, so one going the Bulldogs' way, and I'm going to not decide. And I'm going to go with the Xira EHK as well at home. I guess I'm kind of with Doug and Jim here. I just don't see them playing poorly 2 weeks in a row. That's not something you normally see from an Xira EHK team. I think they've got some pieces that are, you know, figuring out where they need to be. And both these teams are that way because they lost a lot from last season. You look at the games and where they played out, almost all the guys that were impact players are gone. So that changes things a lot. But I'll look for Sparty to bounce back. It should be an interesting game. Probably going to be a close one, but I'll take the Spartans at home. So that's 3 for Xira EHK, 1 for Bedford. We'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and look at some more picks here as we move to 11-man football. This is Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win as we continue on with our picks this week as we dive into 11-man play. We're going to go into a Class A non-district matchup here for you in this next one. It'll be the Grizzled Tigers on the road at West Monona. And Jim, you get first look here at this one.
Oh, goody. I don't know, to quote someone I heard earlier. Lost to Missouri Valley last week, did Griswold 33-8, but Jaden Jonkey had a pretty nice ball game. Had 135 yards on the ground, not too bad. I don't know, Riverside has not been tremendous here the last few years, and that was West Monona's opponent last week. I see they ran up a lot of yards. They had like almost 300 yards between their two running backs, and they created five turnovers too and beating Riverside, but I don't know. I just don't know. I'm going to go with Griswold just because I think they're going to be a little bit more stable at this point, and I think Jonkey will have a little bit better time running the football than maybe some of the kids from West Monona. I think Riverside would have been a lot easier to run on than Griswold's defense was this past week. So I'm going to try Griswold on the road.
All right, so that's one for the Tigers. Matt.
Like Griswold last week played a pretty respectable game against Missouri Valley. Missouri Valley's probably the team in that district up there to beat as the season goes on. So to come out at 33-8 and put up the numbers they did, I think they did some good things in there. Like I said, against West Monona, I'm not quite sure. You know, paper tiger right now as far as the numbers on there. But with that being said, I'm going to go with the Tigers on the road. I don't like what they do early on the season here. Everything's systematic. It's simple, less prone to errors.
All right, a couple there for Griswold. Griswold coming off that tough loss last week, but they did, you know, put up some decent numbers. And also, I guess I kind of went back and looked at how it shook out between them last year, and Griswold won that game 28-0 when they met up. And they bring back most of the players that had an impact in that game. Chance Mace on the ground had 3 touchdowns rushing last year against the Spartans. So I think I'm going to go with Griswold as well. I like the Tigers being able to go on the road and get this one. Doug.
Yeah, it'll be a battle of ground games. I mean, West Monona put up some yards on the ground, as you know, similar to Griswold. A couple teams that really like to pound the ball. But I'm not going to shake the boat here, rock the boat. I'm going to take the Tigers on the road, too.
All right, so Grizzled Tigers across the board there in that one. We'll move on to a matchup here. It's a Class A 1A bout here between Riverside on the road at Tri-Center. And, Matt, you'll get first crack here at this one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Tri-Center Trojans. I think they've put up some good numbers last week. Their back had, 230 yards on the ground. Again, Riverside came out on the short end against West Monona team, again, who I probably don't think is quite as strong. And so I'm just going with the home team.
All right, so that's one for the Trojans there with Tri-Center. I'm going to agree with you as well. I'm going to go with Tri-Center. I think they've got a little bit more in the stable. Ben Sorensen, yeah, had a great week, 230 yards last week, four touchdowns. He's averaging in that game over 14 yards a carry, so it's a really good outing for him. Looks like they might have something starting to figure out there with a sophomore quarterback and Bryson Freeburg. He didn't put up big numbers, but he looked like he was efficient when he needed to be for them. Riverside, I think there's just a lot to work on there. It looks like they were able to hit a couple of long balls and maybe like to throw it up when they get a chance here and there, but I just don't think there's that balance offensively. So I'm going to go with Tri-Center. Doug.
Yeah, if you look at the stats from the Riverside game, the quarterback had a nice game. As you said, 270 yards passing, and he also led the team in rushing. So, a lot of offense coming from one position. Sometimes if that's the case, the other team can shut down that one person. So, and as you mentioned, Ben Sorensen for Tri-Center, I like all those numbers, and the one I really like is that he had a 90-yarder in there for a touchdown. So, obviously, the kid has some speed as well, and I'll take Tri-Center.
All right, that's three for Tri-Center. Jim?
Mark it down. You guys said it all. Tri-Center. I think this one was one of the easier picks on the schedule this week.
All right, so we're going to go Trojans across the board there. This next one is going to be one of the highlight games around the state here this week, as we've got a Class A, 2A matchup and two teams that are ranked right up towards the top. St. Albert goes on the road to take on Kemper Catholic, and I guess I'm the unfortunate one that has to take the look at this first. Is fun. You look at the rankings. Radio Iowa has St. Albert at 2 and Kemper at 3, and then the AP poll that came out has St. Albert at 1 and Kemper at 4. So you're right up there towards the top of the rankings here early in the year, and rightfully so. They both bring back a lot of talent from last year, had successful seasons, and it was St. Albert who was able to win this game in a really close one last year. It'll be another close one again, I'm sure, here in this week two in 2017. I guess I'm kind of leaning on the fact that St. Albert's got a lot of those key players back in the same positions from last year. They've got some of that carryover with Kyle Barnes having some experience at quarterback. Luke Waters did get some carries last week, so it appears like he's all right in there for him. Miles Ruhpiper is obviously the guy you're watching on the other side for Kemper. He's just a terrific athlete. They'll be able to run the ball some, I'm sure. But I always like St. Albert's team mentality on defense, and I think they're going to be able to do just enough to get it done. So I'm going to go with the Falcons. Doug.
Well, the number that stood out to me, I think St. Albert's took care of Lomah pretty handily. I think Lomah's in a little bit of a rebuilding year this year, but they shut him out. They spread the ball around. I think they had four running backs that had over 50 yards each rushing the ball. The Falcons did. They're pretty efficient passing the ball last week as well. And the other number that kind of stood out to me with the Knights victory over Greene County last week, 21-14, was they actually gave up over 200 yards passing. So they might be a little bit vulnerable through the air. It's always one of those things, you're playing up a couple classes here. So it's, kind of an interesting challenge, and it's going on the road, but I'm going to take the Falcons.
All right, so a couple for St. Albert here to get this one going. Jim.
Well, did I do that right?
Yes, that's okay. Perfect.
I got a little frog in my throat there.
Yeah.
One question. Does St. Albert have a kid named Waters on the team?
Yes.
I'm in. St. Albert. Done deal.
Usually hasn't been very long as a litmus test, that's for sure. Had some pretty good success over the years. So that's all you got to say, huh? Falcons?
That's all I got.
Waters? Okay.
St. Albert.
All
right. Book it.
Easy one. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, interesting. Even on our picks here, I thought there might be a little more change. or, you know, whatever. But I think, you know, the Class A, St. Albert, 2A, Kemper, they're used to playing each other, both members of the Hawkeye 10. So it's every sport they're going up against each other. So I think it's just a matter of competition. Boy, it's just going to be – this is a tough one. But I'm going to have to go with St. Albert on the road. This is 2 weeks in a row that on the road for them. You know, two tough weeks. But I just think they, like you guys have all said, they just have too many more weapons, I think. And I didn't see as much coming back for Kemper this year, maybe. Maybe I missed something. But as far as key components down the road for them, so I see obviously a lot more with St. Albert. And like I said, their defense is just – outstanding. So,
all right. Yeah, maybe a little bit surprising, but we go a sweep across the board there with St. Albert in that top five battle there between Class A and 2A. Let's move on to, the team that St. Albert dispatched last week in Logan Magnolia. They turn around and go on the road at Underwood in a Class 1A, 2A matchup here. And Doug, you get a look at this one here first.
Yeah, and Underwood was the team that burned me last week. I had them... I had picked Trainer last week, and Underwood showed me I was apparently know nothing about this game. I was, you know, you look at the game, that game, Underwood had a quarterback that was a sophomore come in and had a very efficient game, 18 to 24 passing and 250 yards. So got the ball going through the air, also had a running back over 130 yards rushing. You know, the offense the offense for Loma didn't do much. Now, that's, again, a testament to St. Albert's defense and the studs that they have playing for them. It would be very strange probably to see a Logan Magnolia team start the season 0-2, but I think that's going to happen. I'm going to take Underwood at home.
All right, so that's one for the Eagles. Jim?
Yeah, I thought Underwood, I know Trainer's not the best team they're going to play all year, but they shut them down pretty well. It didn't really let them get going, get started doing anything at all. I don't know what to think about Logan Magnolia right now, 35-0 last week. You know, Underwood, they're sitting 1-0, so they got something to play for yet. They're looking at the possibility of going 2-0. There's a lot of motivation there for them. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Underwood, too. That's at home.
All right. It's a couple there for the Eagles. Matt?
Okay. Well, there's not much to this game, I don't think. You know, as far as dynamics, I think Loma's definitely in a rebuilding year, so I'm going to go with the Eagles at home.
All right. So that's three there for Underwood. And I'm going to go ahead and make it a clean sweep. I'm going to take the Eagles here as well. But I guess I'm not going to sit here and think that I'm really confident that's going to happen because you never know. That's a really tough team that Logan Magnolia played last week. I think the thing that concerned me the most when I looked at the stats from that game was they're really doing a lot of searching, it looks like, because there were nine different ball carriers that got a carry in that game for Logan Magnolia. So maybe they're still trying to figure out, hey, who's going to step up and you know, play some of these important spots for us here as the season moves along. Logan Magnolia did win this game last year pretty handily, but obviously a lot of change for these teams here in this year. So I'll go with Underwood. I'll go with the home team. That helps as well that they're at home, and we have a clean sweep across the board there for the Eagles. We've got a couple of games left here on our sheet, and we'll take a look at those when we come back here in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we head to our final two picks here for week number two. And our next game up on the sheet is a Trainer going on the road to Red Oak, a Class 1A, 2A matchup. And Jim, you get to take first crack here at this one.
Well, let's see. They both got shut out last week. Trainer was able to accumulate all of 157 total yards of offense, which doesn't sound so hot until you take a look at what Red Oak didn't do. What they didn't do is move the ball even half that. They had 65 total yards of offense. Yeah, go Trainer.
All right, one for the Cardinals. Matt.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Underwhelming? Yeah. Well, Trader didn't pull through me last week. I was starting to think maybe I'd go with Red Oak, but when you read and they played Southwest Valley, is that correct? So I'll go with Trainer.
All right. Got a couple for Trainer. Yeah, this is this
is tough. Gotta feel like you have to pick one, so let's just go with this one.
who can gain some yards? That's the name of the game. You've got young players on both sides too. That's what's really tough. You know, Red Oak lost almost everybody that was an impact player for them from last season. It looks like they've got a couple of Carters that they're leaning on. Carter Bruce at the quarterback spot had two interceptions thrown last week in that opening game against Southwest Valley. And he ended the night with 20 yards in the minus category rushing, so that's never a good sign. Maybe some things going on up front there for Red Oak, so I think that's a big concern. Trainer, you didn't see many of those negative marks across the board, so I think that bodes well a little bit for them. I'm going to go with Trainer on the road here as well. I think they'll have maybe just enough to eke by here in this one. Doug.
It's one of those games that, can certainly turn on a turnover or two, depending on where the turnover occurs and some momentum. If one of the teams gets up a little bit over the other, it could be all it needs. I'm going to go with Red Oak at home, since they are the home team and a 2A team. 2A beats 1A. It's one more A than 1A. It's 2A.
A mathematical win for Red Oak.
I don't know what.
Right. I'm looking at some of the other theory, game picks, but that's all right.
Well, I know, but
each game's on its individual basis. It's game by game analysis.
It's only one factor.
Mathematics was part of your major course of study in audiology school?
Yes.
I see that.
It's not necessarily a formula. He doesn't always plug that in.
Okay. For a second there, I thought he was going to be an eye doctor because he was talking about how many A's can you see, and I wasn't sure where he was going there.
Well, hopefully at the end of the night, they're all seeing the same ones. It's one for Red Oak and three for Trainer. Now we head to our final game on the sheet as the Atlantic Trojans, off of their opening victory over Clarinda, will come back home, and they'll get to take on another team from down in that region, another 2A school in the Shenandoah Mustangs, as Atlantic gets to play this home contest, their first home game of the season. And Matt, you get first look here at this one.
Okay. All right, well, yeah, Atlantic, big win last week for the team and the players and such. It was nice to see him go out and not just get a win, but a very dominant win. I think it brought a lot to the table for the kids to see that they've been doing some hard work, and it was not only that, but so many weapons and many components, not only offensively but also defensively out there. That we know that spinner back type offense there for them has been tough to corral sometime in years past, and they did a phenomenal job with it. So I think you're going to see a lot of that confidence just keep right on building into this week. And like I said, I think that type of win really helped with their confidence. It wasn't one they kind of eked out and got by on. It was one that they established dominance. So now with that being said, Shenandoah is kind of similar as Clarinda, that in the fact that they like to run the ball. And there's a lot of deception in their backfield as well. They kind of run was that the old T offense back there? There's three backs in there, kind of a little bit wishbone type in a way. So you really utilize the fullback in motion. So it'll be another test again for the defense this week. So, but I think it's one that they'll be able to pass. I think, again, Lang's got a very tough defense right now in the weapons on there. I don't think Shenandoah's defense is going to be quite as strong as well. So go with the Trojans at home.
All right, that's one there for Atlantic. That was a nice win last week for the Trojans. I thought they were just very efficient. You know, everything that they tried to do, they did pretty well. Jackson Eden looked pretty good at the quarterback spot. I thought really there were only a couple of passes where he was maybe off by overthrowing a receiver a couple of times, but you know, otherwise that was on target. And I think maybe they showed everybody that they have a little bit more when it comes to that part of the game too, because there were a couple of guys that made some nice catches that maybe you weren't looking for before the game started. So I was impressed by that. I think they've got some nice speed that'll help them out throughout the season. The one concern maybe is, you know, how is that front four going to hold up along the defensive line as the season moves along? When they start, you know, facing some teams that have some larger size, larger strength, there were a number of times where Scholl was able to get through that first level pretty quickly and get to the second and third level. So that's something they're going to have to work on. But I think the Trojans will have enough to be able to do it in this one. Shenandoah lost quite a bit from their team last year. They did have some kids do some nice things in week one, but I think Atlantic will have enough confidence coming off that first win to be able to get one here. So, Doug.
Yeah, I was at the game at Clarinda, and I did, you know, I like the outcome, obviously. You know, I think it was a combination. I think Atlantic definitely is an improved ball club. You know, there's a lot of talent on the field, I think, in the skill positions and even on the line, too. But, you know, I think it also showed off the Clarinda's is probably rebuilding, you know, on their team a little bit, too. But I like the fact that Atlantic scored running the ball. They scored receiving the ball. They scored on a defensive touchdown. You know, and as you said, it's just kind of depends on how well that offensive line, I think, gels together. There were some times where there were some really nice holes that they had there, and then there were some breakdowns too. And, you know, it's one of those offensive line play, you know, it takes a lot of practice, and teams can really improve on that throughout the year. So I also think, you know, one of the factors that's going to play in, not so much maybe in the early season, but, you know, they do. You know, there's going to be – it could be some fatigue issues, especially later on in the season. But I think Atlantic's definitely got enough talent to win this game, and I think probably will win it fairly handily.
All right. That's three for the Trojans. Jim.
Well, very good. Well, Shenandoah, first of all, they lost to a very good team last week. So it's not like they were a walkover last week. They played a very good opponent. Mason Silence, their running back, Kyle Owens, their quarterback. They both put up decent numbers last week against a very good AHSTW team. Atlantic squeaked out a win last year against Clarinda to open the season and then lost a 7-3 game to Shenandoah, and that started a three-game tumble. There were three games there, the first four games of the season, the Clarinda game they won, then the Shenandoah game, a narrow loss, but then you follow that up with Denison and Winterset. Those were both competitive games, games that with a couple of things here and there they could have won. I mean, how different a season goes from 1-8 to if you start out 4-0 or perhaps 3-1. I look at it the same this year. You know, Atlantic, they were efficient on offense last week. On defense, 24 different kids registered a tackle last week. That's, you know, that's getting a lot of kids in there, get some experience early on. If they can come out and play well against a team that's kind of looking at this game as a winnable game for themselves too in Shenandoah, then, you know, maybe that can start that ball rolling the opposite direction from last year, and you start picking up a couple of extra wins here and there. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Trojans at home in this week, and let's get on a little roll here.
All right, so that's all Trojans across the board, and they're in our final game. That's going to do it for our picks here this week. Stay tuned. We've got eight-man football coming up here for you between Audubon and Cam over in Oneida. I'll be joined by Mike Smith here coming up. We'll get the pregame started, and kickoff is at 7 o'clock. That's going to do it here for Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Molenix. I'm Chris Parks, and that's another week of Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.